And speaking of information, Roger Batt joining us here. We've gone from Roger Stone to Roger Batt. We're talking about the water use of the Treasure Valley, Treasure Valley water users. Mr. Batt, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. Nothing's more important to the valley than water. What's the latest on the water?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, there are a couple of surface water rights issues that are going on in the Treasure Valley that our audience needs to be aware of. First of all, water rights and water rights issues are very complicated, so we're going to try to just cut down to the nuts and bolts of the issues themselves. And the water rights we're talking about today, the issues are surface water rights here in the Treasure Valley, and it's 350,000 acres basically from Boise to Parma, what we call the Boise River Basin.
So that's when people say that on the television. That is the definition of it, the Boise River Basin.
Yes, that's correct, Boise River Basin. And Surface Water Rights 101 here in the basin, first of all, in order to take water from a source like a river or reservoir, you have to have a water right to do so. Then you satisfy that water right through what's called a beneficial use. Those types of things are irrigation, recreation, fish, etc. There are two kinds of surface water rights here in the Boise River Basin. The first are called natural flows, which come from the river. The second are storage water rights, which come from our reservoirs. And it's very important for our audience to understand that natural river flows do not provide adequate water supply for any of us to make it through the irrigation year. So what we need are storage facilities and storage places for us to be able to make it through the irrigation season. And our water rights also have priority dates assigned to them in this valley. Priority dates of your water right determine when in the pecking order you actually receive your allocation. And IDO, being a prior appropriation doctrine state, means that senior water right holders receive their water before junior water right holders do. So in other words, if you have a 1900 water right, I have a 1901 water right, when it comes to water right allocations, you receive your water first before I do. And if there's not enough water for me to receive my water, you get your water and I don't. That's how it works in this valley and has for 100 years.
When we take a look at water, we're always concerned about the winter snowpack, the rain. It never really rains here. So it's important, Roger, as you know, to conserve and to have these systems. But I can imagine if, I'm 1900 and you're 1901, I get the water and you don't. That's going to cause, some aggravation, to say the least.
Yes, it can be very frustrating for folks, but we do have a system in place that's worked for 100 years, and a lot of states in the West have also adopted that as well. Fortunately, in this valley, our forefathers had the foresight to construct three reservoirs, and we have Arrow Rock Reservoir, which was constructed in 1915, Anderson Ranch constructed in 1940, and Lucky Peak in 1955. And between those three reservoirs, we have about 1 million acre-feet of storage, which is necessary for us to meet water right demands here in the Treasure Valley.
Now, with that growth, though, Roger, are we going to ever have to expand or come up with another reservoir? Because, that's the thing. We see it in everywhere in the Treasure Valley. We're building roads. We're building bridges. Eventually, are we going to have more water storage? I mean, water is such a commodity here in the West. How will that work?
Yes. Well, in fact, as growth increases in this valley, it would be helpful to have additional storage. We have been fully appropriated in this valley for decades. There's no new water. And so the two issues I want to talk to you about today are kind of focused a little bit on that.
I like there's no new water. I like how you put that. But yeah.
Exactly. So what's happened is in the 1940s, we had extensive flooding in this valley, and that caused our irrigators to willingly and in good faith enter into an agreement in 1953 with the Army Corps of Engineers to release so much water from our reservoirs to prevent flooding to our Boise Valley residents and our businesses. And doing so, when the reservoirs hit 70% capacity, we have to begin spilling water for flood control purposes downriver.
Sure. At 580KIDO, as we move along here, if you have a question about water, 580-5436, 580KIDO. Roger Batt with us talking about, we take it for granted, but obviously we're talking about making sure that we conserve our water. And, what was it last year, the year before, when it didn't rain for like 4 months, the system was put to the test, it seems.
Yes, and it can be. And 70% of the time, historically, though, the system is full, and we have to release water for flood control as a result of our 1953 agreement that we established with the Army Corps of Engineers. And what happens after flood control releases take place, and has happened historically in this valley, is the reservoirs fill back up to maximum allocation, where we can meet everybody's water right demands and send the water downriver through our irrigation districts, canal and ditch companies, and to meet everybody's water right demands through our patrons. But what's taken place here recently is both our Attorney General's office here in the state and our State Department of Water Resources have independently taken two legal positions that really make unprecedented attacks on our individual and business water rights. And the first of these legal positions first counts flood control releases against the storage rights of our water right holders. So what does that mean? Well, it means that water that's being sent downriver going to the ocean to prevent flooding is now being counted against your water allowance. And the state is now treating this water as water that's been used, even though you haven't been able to put that water to any kind of beneficial use. You can't use it on your crops for agriculture. You can't put it on your lawn or garden. Can't be used for recreation. Yet the state is still counting it against you as water being used. So, for example, if you had 200,000 acre feet of water released for flood control purposes during a given year, then you would actually have 200,000 acre feet less of storage water to begin the irrigation season. And Kevin, I have an example here. I have a cup of water that's about 70% full, represents a reservoir.
Right.
We're going to release some of this water for flood control here. That water is just being sent downriver. And
I thought you were going to drink it.
Well, under the state's position, you know, they're going to count it against you whether you drink it or not, basically. And that's kind of how this works. And really, this doesn't make any sense to us, you know, because, first of all, we didn't use it for any beneficial use, so why should it be counted against us? But second, flood control releases are not recognized under Idaho law as a beneficial use in the first place. So how can it be remotely possible for these releases to be counted against us if they're not considered a beneficial use and also don't satisfy our water rights? Well, the answer is they can't. So basically, this is just a scheme crafted by bureaucrats in offices somewhere to make up the rules as they go and to take away the water that's rightfully ours to begin with.
Amazing when you think about this. So our own government doing this. So what's the next step?
Well, and you're correct. And it's not federal government this time. It's actually our own state government that's doing this time. So there's a second legal position that the state's taken on top of counting flood control releases against the storage rights of our water right holders. And that is that this position says that the water that fills back into the reservoirs after those releases are made, that we no longer have a historical water right to anymore. And, you know, since the first dam was completed in 1915, this water has always been collected as storage water that is needed to meet everybody's water right demands in the valley. And now we're being told that we no longer have the water right to this water because we only get, quote-unquote, one fill in the reservoirs, and flood control releases now exhaust that fill. So you don't get a second fill anymore because of flood control. It's always been our understanding as water users that the water that fills into the reservoirs after flood control releases are made is part of our existing water rights, and we have a right to use this water, and historically we've had a right to use this water for 100 years. It's never been challenged until recently, so this is brand new to all of us.
And getting back to this here at 580KIDO, Roger, it is the state that's doing this, not the feds. Everybody always talks about the feds, but it's the state. Any reason why the state would do this to limit our access to water?
Well, you know, we've been asking that question, and obviously, you know, we haven't really gotten a direct link or a direct answer to that. But what we keep being told by the state are, well, we have junior water right holders in the valley, and we also have new development that's coming in. So I guess, in other words, you develop some kind of scheme to take away water from senior water right holders to give it to new development and junior water right holders instead of devising a new system to be able to acquire new water. I guess that's how the state looks at it. But you're probably wondering what the direct impacts to you as water users are in the Treasure Valley because of these two decisions.
And we're going to get to that in a second. Let's put on your headphones there at 580KIDO. And we have our friend Terry who has a question for our friend Roger Batt at 580KIDO about water. Terry, good morning. You're on 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Terry.
Question, if I could. I'm from back east, so I don't understand water rights, what have you. I mean, we don't know what to do with all of our water back there.
Yes.
I understand that the Army Corps of Engineers, which we're going to go back here a little bit in your conversation, they are a private organization, as is the EPA. The EPA is actually, if you look on Dun & Bradstreet, they're on the stock exchange even. I'm a little muddled. How do you deal with a private organization that has the authority or appears to have the authority of the federal government? Is that approached? Is that brought up in the subject? I mean, I would not find any authority in the Army Corps of Engineers. Zero. you know, simply because they are not a government entity. Now, I'll take your answer off the phone so that other people can hear, but if you could cover that, we'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you for the question, Terry. So the Army Corps of Engineers is a federal entity. And in 1953, we entered into that agreement with them to be able to release water for flood control when it's necessary to not flood out Boise Valley residents. We did this willingly and in good faith, and we were assured during that time, the irrigators were, that our water rights would not be infringed upon whatsoever by releasing water for flood control purposes. The state of Idaho is actually the ones that are counting these flood control releases against us, not the Army Corps. So the Army Corps obviously releases the water for flood control pursuant to our agreement. They're not allowed to release any more than the forecasting and modeling that the Bureau of Reclamation does that gives it to the Army Corps to release. But the state of Idaho has come up with this scheme to take away water from our senior water right holders and give it to new development in the valley by saying that these releases now count against us as water being used even though you haven't been able to use it. So the direct impacts to all of us in the valley because of these decisions are if you receive water from an irrigation delivery entity, from an irrigation district, a canal, or a ditch company, then your water rights are currently in jeopardy. And the bottom line is this. There are two legal positions that have been taken by the State Department of Water Resources and the Attorney General's office would mean that irrigation delivery entities could literally be forced to shut off water early in the irrigation season to farms and ranches, municipalities, neighborhood communities, parks, and businesses. And these folks heavily depend on this water supply. And Kevin, can you even imagine, as a homeowner, having your irrigation water to your lawn, garden, or your landscaping shut off in the middle of July, for instance? Your plants would die, your yard would die, your favorite park or golf course would dry up. If you're a farmer or rancher, your crops and pastures would dry up and fail to produce.
Sure.
And this would result in a lot of catastrophic loss to this valley as well as economic loss.
And, Roger, we're going to take that up in a minute, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you have questions about your water, we'll take those next. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO.